Thank you. Before I jump into the paper, I'd like to say that I'm thrilled to be presenting today. I remember attending this forum last year in Paris at ESSEC, where I do work, and I thought it was a great event. I thought it'd be really cool to present my research. Here I am. I'm currently also teaching an IFRS class. I just gave that class in the room. We had the forum last year. It was fun to tell students that I'd be doing this today in front of such of a crowd. So again, thank you. So today I will present you a paper entitled "When the Pieces Move, Do Financial Analysts Pick Up on Segment Reporting Reshuffling?" This is co-authored with Aunt Philippe André, who's a colleague of mine, Paul André, who is also in the room, and from University of Bristol, and then Ruxandra Moldovan, who couldn't make it today, from Concordia University. This paper started with actually a very clever idea from Ruxandra, where essentially she found out a way to identify firms changing the allocation of revenue or expenses within their segment reporting. So essentially, how do we catch this? Where is this idea coming from? It's essentially to look at companies, look at what they disclose in their segment reporting, and identify those firms where a year later, you might have a change in their segment reporting for the year T minus one. So for example, here you have an example where for Lionsbridge Technologies, what they reported in 2008 in the 10K report is different for 2008 to what they reported in 2009 for 2008 segment reporting. So it's essentially this that we're trying to catch. It's a shift in revenues or expenses within segment reporting. In that example here, we can see that this is a change in what they allocated for other operating expenses. It is a shift in the GLC segment, where that ultimately leads to a different reported net income. And the extra step that we take in that paper is to, on top of identifying those changes, we have some sort of a materiality threshold. We say, okay, we catch those changes when they represent a change that exceeds 0.5% of total assets. And then the final step is to wonder whether do companies explain about the change. And so this is an example where essentially there is no explanation provided by the company about that change. And this is what we classify as an unexplained reshuffling within segment reporting. Another example to show you, different company, same story. There seems to be a change from one year to the other about information on 2006 segment reporting, where in that case, we hardly can tell whether this is coming from revenue or expenses. We at least know that there is a change in that situation of the loss that they report for their segments. Interestingly though, although again, we take the materiality threshold when checking whether the company is disclosing about this, then we find in the 10K a disclosure that the company has decided to reassign between two segments certain expenses to improve organizational efficiency and reflect the way management evaluates segment performance. So essentially the way we gathered such info, from data collection, we could identify those changes in segment reporting, but then we essentially leveraged ChatGPT in a way to read through 10Ks and find evidence of narratives from companies about that change in disclosure. So that's essentially how I ended up on that project. The three amigos asked me, would you have a way to check into this? And I said, hey, maybe we could try with this. And so that's essentially what we've tried to implement. So the paper in a nutshell, we compare those firms that reshuffle their segment reporting against firms that do not do so within the sample period. And the outcomes that we look into, on top of doing a determinants analysis just to see what are the firm characteristics that seem to be driving such changes, we then look into analysts, and specifically, again, we're going to talk about forecast error and forecast dispersion. it's an open question, right? Are those changes going to be informative and then potentially benefit analysts, or are they going to be, you know, detrimental to them? Ironically, the good thing is, I know that there's always criticism about academics always seeking for bad managers' behavior. Yes, we're trying to see when they change things and not necessarily tell us so, but what we do find is it's actually beneficial when companies provide explanations about those reshufflings. We find that it lowers forecast dispersion, improves accuracy, so lowers forecast error. So all in all, again, what we're trying to say is, you know, potentially analysts don't necessarily pick up on those changing, and so there's benefits from transparency and from the disclosure, per se, of such phenomenon. So I like to visualize papers this way. Again, you know, we start very much from a disclosure story. Okay, we know that we have segment data. This might be useful for financial users. And then we move on into our research question that is then specifically about a certain management behavior, which is essentially segment reshuffling and how it might impact a certain financial user, which is financial analysts. And then at the operational level, we then look into restated versus original segment profit from 10K filings and how they might impact forecast accuracy and dispersion. And then what we try to play with a bit in a channel is whether there is a disclosure about this or no. So what's segment reporting? Again, we know that segment reporting is based on the management approach, which essentially provides managers with discretion about what they want to disclose and how they want to disclose, except for certain criteria. They essentially take the decisions into what are the groups that they want to deem to be of similar economic nature. And all in all, this is a very good thing, right? It provides us with the opportunity to have those kind of internal decision-making structures from managers. And the only thing that we say in the paper is that there's no necessarily requirements about what to disclose or when to disclose and why about changes that you might do within those allocations. So again, why it matters, it's purely a disclosure framework. We know that those are very important disclosures for analysts. Analysts do look into segment reporting. I was chatting earlier today with Mark, and we were chatting about, you know, analysts forecasting at the segment level within their report. And so this is information that is critical to them. It is probably information that is critical for as inputs within their models. And so the history, the historical data of such information might be detrimental for them, be it for forecasting, but also risk assessment, or just having a general idea of firm strategy. Hence, our focus on this. So again, this setting implies huge discretion, threat of having comparability over time with the existence of what we call those silent reshufflings, where you might have changes, maybe that are done for very good reasons, but that are not necessarily disclosed about from the companies. So we have to say that as much as this is a research question, we came into that project with a prior expecting potentially a very bad outcome for analysts, especially when companies don't necessarily disclose about this. The results have showed us a little bit of a, you know, different story, but also at the end, that's also now pushed us to be more a bit, to investigate a bit more and bring some tension in the paper, because at the end, all we're trying to say nowadays in terms of the hypothesis development of the paper is saying, hey, those reshufflings could be associated with analyst earnings forecasts, and having a subdivision in our hypothesis saying, hey, those explained ones have an impact, those unexplained ones have an impact, and then let's see actually what's going on. So the sample, it's a US sample. We look into US S&P firms from 2001 till 2022. We need those firms to be multi-segments. And what we exclude is any M&A activity or discontinuation of operations and year-end changes so that we make sure that those reshufflings that we identify are related to a internal choice from management to reallocate certain things within the disclosures. So again, how we detect this is to compare the reported profit in year T to the T minus one for year T minus one versus the profit originally reported in T minus one. And then this is where we use essentially LLM to classify those on top of saying it's a reshuffler, do they explain something about this or no? And so this is where we use LLM assisted extraction, but also manual validation to then essentially just code, if a company provides no explanation, it's unexplained. If the company provides just an explanation about this, just saying, hey, this is what we've done, at least, then we'd classify this as explained reshuffling. But there's not much more to this that we do. In terms of the sample construction, sorry to show you so many words, what we wanted to get to with this slide is essentially that what we have is 635 events, so reshufflings, and concerning 494 firms. Okay, so we do have firms that do this multiple times within our sample period. And in terms of the split in between explain and unexplain, it seems to be fairly distributed 50-50, essentially. So it's not like we have a few that explain and then the rest, all of them are going silent, or that silence is something that occurs very rarely. No, we actually have kind of a mix of both. So first kind of test in the paper is about the determinants. So we say, okay, this seems to be happening. We detect those. We're trying to classify whether disclosure or no. First of all, what are potential firm characteristics that might be driving reshuffling, segment reshuffling, let alone? So what we find is that negative revenue changes increase the likeliness of a company to reshuffle segment reporting, which suggests essentially that this might be related to performance shocks. We also find that the bigger the firms, the more likely they reshuffle, but this is also just linked to internal complexity. Most of the time, the bigger the companies, the more they might need to reshuffle, essentially, every now and then. We find that operating segments are more likely to reshuffle than the ones doing geographical, which is also what you'd expect. You'd have more discretion into operating segments than into the geographic ones. And then, interestingly, we find that firms facing high competition might not necessarily be as likely to reshuffle segment reporting, which could be linked to a story about trying to maintain consistency in when under pressure in certain industries. We also have a variable to investigate whether firms having some restructuring charges might reshuffle too, and we find that this is the case, that they reshuffle when facing those kind of charges. All of this to say that reshuffling is driven by certain determinants, but we then move away from this determinants analysis to the determinants analysis about what are the drivers about disclosing or not. So out of those reshufflers, we know that essentially half of them are disclosing something about it, another half are going silent about it. Then what are the determinants of going silent or disclosing? And what we do find is that more profitable firms are less likely, it is less likely for profitable firms not to disclose. So we find that, this performance relation association. Again, we find that for firm size, this is more likely that they will disclose about the reshuffling that they've done. We find that the reshuffling of segment expenses, so in the two examples that I showed you, one of them was from a change, a reallocation of expenses. The other, you couldn't tell whether this is coming from revenue or expenses. What we do find is that it is less likely that they'll disclose when this isn't from expenses only. So also that it is more likely that they don't disclose when this is from revenue. So again, linking to potential strategic kind of motivations there. again, firms with more accruals will tend to disclose more when they reshuffle, meaning that there could be some credibility signal that they might want to show. And for restructuring, we find a similar result. Interestingly, looking at materiality, which is essentially how material is that change versus total assets, we do not find a significant association with the disclosure. So we can't find evidence that, okay, for the ones that do the biggest changes, they'll always report about it. All in all, the interpretation is that there seems to be some strategic pattern about this. So let alone this is, it seems to be very interesting, and there seems to be strategic considerations from firms about whether to disclose or not. And so there are certain environments where science might be more riskier than others, et cetera, et cetera. Moving on to our main result. I'm sorry to show such of a big table. At least we have a, you know, at least you can decently see through it. I just have a better slide to run you through the results. But essentially what we do next is, like I was explaining earlier, looking at analyst forecasts and forecast error and forecast dispersion. And then essentially in a diff-in-diff identification, essentially doing here a stacked difference in difference, looking at the impact of reshuffling during the sample period on analyst forecast error and dispersion. And so what we do find is no result for the entire sample of reshufflers, but we find evidence of a result for the ones that explain, okay? So we essentially find evidence of that good management behavior is beneficial for financial analysts. So again, in that stack diff and diff, looking at forecast error and dispersion, what I was showing you here is essentially that in column 5 and 8, for the explained reshufflings, for those firms that change their segment reporting but explain about it in their report, we find that it is associated with lower forecast error and lower dispersion. We do not find such a result for the unexplained reshufflers, so for those companies that do reshuffle and don't explain anything about it, so those silent reshufflers. And pooled, again, we don't find evidence of such an impact. From this, we just conclude that analysts seem to not to react to what they can't see. And our takeaway from this is on the importance of disclosure. So it's not necessarily of a materiality story, but we see that analysts benefit from firms disclosing about them changing the segment reporting independently of the materiality of it. We then dig further into certain cross sections just to get a bit of a better sense about this result. And so what we do find is that depending on the type of segmentation that the company is reporting, so whether it's operating or geographic, we find that analysts are responsive to disclose changes in operating segments. Like we said, this is also potentially driven by the power of our analysis, because as I said, most of the time this happens for operating segments and not so much for geographical segments. So we can't say very much about such results. What's interesting is on the type of reshuffling, we find that analysts respond more when the reshuffling affects top-line metrics. So we essentially find that analysts respond more to those firms that reshuffle through their revenues or expenses within segment reporting versus the ones that we know are just reshuffling expenses only. And then our third cross-section is about the magnitude of the change. Obviously, one would argue potentially, it's just that the ones that do the biggest reshufflings are going to be the ones that are driving the entire result. So we do a cross-section, and surprisingly, we find evidence that our result is driven by the ones that have the lower materiality. We don't test for the difference in coefficients, but it just provides us evidence that is at least not necessarily driven by the materiality of the change. We run into several robustness analysis, at least for the main result, where we obviously have our main result holding without a stacked definitive, so just doing a regular staggered definitive. And we also use we try to use various windows, placebo tests, just to reassure our findings. All in all, our conclusion is that only disclosed reshufflings are informative. We try to provide evidence that segment reshuffling happens. It's quite common. It's discretionary. There might be certain strategic patterns about them. We show that only transparent disclosure improves analyst forecasts. It's not the craziest contribution, but at least I think it's a very interesting result. And silence potentially breaks comparability, at least for analysts and the inputs that they use for their valuations. And so I think there's a call to consider disclosure requirements regarding to this. All right, I think that will be it for me. And then I'm looking for the discussions.